satisfy you.
Welcome to Nodcast, episode 335. Derpy deeds done derp cheap.
Oh, God.
I'm Saverin.
I'm horrified.
Damn it, Fuzz. We haven't even started the show, and you got a damn it fuzz out of me.
Starting the year off right.
Yep. So, yeah.
I'm just proving that you need to put the tablecloth back on, I guess.
Yeah. We had a sheet shortage. And we're like, oh, we need a sheet. So I had to take the sheet off.
I thought you said we had a sheep shortage. We needed a sheep. And that ties in nicely to the title.
Yes. So we've both had this this thing, both Panther and I, because that song, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, comes on our gym radio.
Yeah.
And then both Panther and I mentally fill in Done With Sheep as one of the chorus lines. Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Dirty Deeds Done With Sheep. And this is a classic Filk song. People have done it for years and years.
Yeah.
But both of us were did they make an official version of that? Did they officially do that at one point?
Mm-hmm.
We dug around and couldn't find it. And then I was like, I know somebody made a fake album cover. And that led us down a rabbit hole where we found two NoFX album covers, Heavy Petting Zoo and Eating Lamb, and both of which are like the Heavy Petting Zoo, the guy's like fingering a sheep, and the other one he's just like 69ing it, and like the Eating Lamb one is fucking like a super rare, like they only sold it very limited because it's this super shocking transgressive cover, and it's like, I guess that's not the case, but boy howdy, that was a thing. It was so Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Dirty Deeds Done With Sheep. But also the guys from Sub-003 sang that as a version many, many, many moons ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
way back in 09.
Yeah, back in 09 when, you know,
back in that day we used to call a turkey a walking bird.
Oh, yes.
What?
So
Grandpa Simpson.
Oh.
Which I didn't do the voice, it's a generic old man. But
today is now August 5th? No, it is January 5th, 2017, current year. And we have all survived the holidays to varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all still here, so that's good.
All my bones are here.
All of them. All of them. Hey, hey, plus, yeah.
It's not a bone that you want to stick in and break off.
No, I don't want to break anything off. That'd be very uncomfortable.
You know what I want to break? I want to break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Well, I don't have a Kit Kat bar, but I do have a 1 pound Hershey's chocolate bar.
That is impressive.
Right here.
Wow.
It is a literal pound of Hershey's chocolate, which Hershey's is okay. So that actually kind of goes into, we can talk about our Christmases and how that went.
Yay.
So my Christmas this year, I kind of got roped into going to my dad's side of the family Christmas. And these are people that I have very willingly not seen for at least 16 years. They treated us very poorly as kids, or they're a bunch of racists, or both. Mm-hmm. So it was very guarded going into it. And I managed to chameleon my way through it pretty well. Mm-hmm. My sister kind of had a bit of trouble, but you know, she's going through some shit right now. But very surprisingly, I actually got some gifts.
Hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. they were very excited to see me because, again, they hadn't seen me in like 16 years. So it was the prodigal son mm-hmm. that they know nothing about. And I kept it that way, other than vaguely implying that I'm very economically privileged in certain regards, but not how or why.
I'm a fuckboy.
Because I basically slapped my dick on the table when it came to talking PC builds recently, with apparently my most racist, anti-gay, Trump-loving uncle.
Uh-huh.
And I, or not uncle, he's
cousin?
He's not related to me technically. He's
married into the family?
Yeah, he's my aunt's husband?
That would be your uncle.
Okay, so he is uncle that way?
But not fucking, by blood.
Anyways.
Yeah, but that's something
he was a fuckhead. He made a couple of, like, shithead comments, like, just out there. Uh-huh. During things, so I get to, like, flap. I got to say, oh, yeah, I'm doing real fucking good. And, like, I slapped him in the face with income and slapped him in the face with computers. And he stopped talking to me after that and making comments. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I spent value and got computer. And he's like, oh, shit, I still got a, you know, an older thing. And I can't play blah. And I'm
like, I still got a 486.
You know, it was one of those things where it went pretty well for me. All things good. And I did get gifts. Like, I got a literal pound of chocolate, Hershey's chocolate. And there was, like, my grandpa on that side got me a $50 Walmart gift card. And an aunt that also gave me, like, one of those Captain Morgan, the stuff that I brought to the party right, and gave to Tyrion. Some spiced rum. And there were some little things here and there. And it was actually pretty, it was nice.
Was like, it the cannonball?
Yeah, the cannonball, okay. The Captain Morgan cannonball.
Yeah.
And, like,
I'm guessing Panther did not go with you.
Panther did not go. He was just like, well, A, Panther was sick.
Oh.
Like, the day prior, we had to do a car rescue for Webster, and we were in the rain for, like,
hours.
An hour or two. And so we both came down ill.
Oh, man.
So he was sick as a dog on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and, like, the day after.
That's what killed William Henry Harrison, you know.
Yeah. And it took me, like, a day after, but I was sick for a little bit as well. So we still haven't done any of the Christmas stuff with his side of the family. Cause normally we go to like, we see both sides of his family and his aunt on Christmas Day. No such luck.
You just kind of bunkered down.
Yeah. I mean, I did Christmas Day with my parents and that went well. But the net result is I ended up with like $70 discretionary cash that I turned into Steam cash and had a lot of fun during the Steam sale.
Nice.
Up to and including getting face rig.
Yes.
I'm a pretty vixen. I'm the prettiest vixen. You guys follow me on Twitter at Savern Drake. You can see my current icon. And I was spamming it the other day of going like, God damn, I'm cute. if you're a furry, you're real limited. Like, so if you're a wolf, a tiger, or a fox, you're okay. If you're any other sort of furry species, you're kind of shit out of luck. Because I don't know how you import models and like, I'm sure somewhere out there is a furry who can make face rig models and can do custom or stuff. Otherwise, though, you're pretty limited. And they have some other stuff that's kind of really uncanny valley. But they have a fox. Very cute. And she has, like, 6 color variations. And then there's the custom setting where, because she has, like, 6 different color coats, and she has 2 where she has a low cut top, but no like really boobers or anything. So eye color shifted it around, like you can tweak the muzzle, squash and stretch a little. So I slightly broadened the muzzle, made the nose a little larger, made the eyes a little smaller, made the ear slider to maximum, and made it as close to Savern as I could make. And it's just like, oh, this is so fucking cool. But it was on sale for like $20 for the pro version.
Yeah.
Which basically allows you to use it for YouTube and shit. And I got a bunch of other games too, but my Christmas actually went pretty well.
Cool.
Like, it was stressful because family always is stressful. But it went really well, and New Year's was all right too, because we got to go to Spa Castle, thanks to Diddy, one of our locals. Shiva, you, and some other folks, Jeter Almeida, and Co. basically got together to help make my sister's birthday really, really good. And she greatly appreciated that. And I've been thanking everybody involved because she's had a rough little bit. And got to go to a spa for the first time.
I liked it.
It was neat. A bit woo-y in terms, like the whole, oh, gold will do this and the Lois here is good for asthma and blah, blah, blah. Like the ascribing magical health benefits to saunas.
I just go some of the things that feel good.
Yeah, it's
get rid
just
of
like,
all those toxins.
But I don't really necessarily ascribe anything to it. It feels good.
I know. I was just like, there's a lot of woo involved, but the actual like functional thing of it,
yeah,
is really kind of nice. It's like it's not cheap to get in once you're. It's like a day you're in, and once you leave, But they've got these nice, like, hot tubs and, like, the shower area that's, like, they go from, like, go from 61 degrees for the quote-unquote Arctic pool and all the way up to, like, 104. And they've got a hot sauna and they got a dry sauna, which it really reminds me that any sort of, like, sauna sex in any furry art is fucking bullshit. You don't want to fucking fuck in a sauna, and you wouldn't if you're covered in fur.
Yes.
Just saying.
All I know is if I had fur and there was a sauna, they would be set a lot lower.
Yeah.
Because I'm already wearing... Except
Saturn's a Phoenix, so he'd be, like, in the sous vide room, mm-hmm. which I'm going to get to in a second, and he'd be like, oh, this is fucking great. So they also have, like, 8 different saunas, which are upstairs.
Mm-hmm. So to clarify, the downstairs ones in the locker room are sex divided, so you girl side, guy side. When you go into the baths and the saunas, you're naked.
You're naked.
Everybody's naked.
True equality.
So you basically, you go in, you get...
I got a pretty nice dick, all things considered, seeing all the other people around me.
You get undressed, and then you go out, you take a full shower. You want to wash really well before you get into, and so you don't pollute the pools, and then you can go and you can... There's hot tubs with, like, jets. There's a sauna. Then you get dressed and you go upstairs. And upstairs you got, like, the outdoor hot tub pools, which are co-ed, so you're wearing a swimsuit.
Yeah.
There's a sauna area where it's pretty much they've got the whole spa thing. So if you want to pay for a massage or pedicure or all that other bullshit. Or there's saunas you can go sit in. They've got wicked comfy couches, which you could very easily nap on.
They have their heated floor area, which is like a nap area.
Yeah, and so they basically pipe hot water underneath the floor. So you've got a nice tile floor that's probably warmer, you know, about skin temp, that you lay a thick mat on, and then you just kind of bake on it like you're a fucking lizard.
Yeah, and the sauna rooms, there's a cold room, which is 50 degrees and moist. And then they have various other saunas that are varying degrees of humidity and temperature-wise. And the sous vide room, as I referred to it as, is 185 dry heat.
185 degrees. Warm. That's
warm.
That's the only one. Like, the other ones were okay, and I dealt with, but I really wish for that room I had, like, sandals or something. Yeah,
because they have the tatami mats on the floor, and they're, like, they're still too hot.
Yeah.
And Sarah was like, yo, walk, dare you to walk around. And I'm like, all right. And I did. But I'm like, it's a bit warm in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one of them, it was like 150 or so, which for whatever reason, I felt, this is fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laying in there for a good 10 minutes and was like, man, I could fall asleep. That's not good. All right. Oh, God. Tatami mat gravity. Ah.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where you need, like, a spotter to go into those rooms.
Yeah.
Like, somebody needs like to a not...
fursuit spotter.
Yeah.
Well, don't fall asleep. You'll get really fucking ill in there.
It was very nice, and it was very fun. But by the end of it, I was like, man, I'm fucking tired. I've cooked myself enough.
Yeah, you come out, you feel like a noodle. Like, you feel very pleasantly but well-drained. You notice everybody that went to... the spa that night when they went to Fuzz's New Year's party were all very low-keyed and just kind of like, we were not partying hard.
That's what happened.
I tapped out like right after midnight.
Yeah.
But
we hung out till around 1 just to
let sorry I missed you. I think I was in another room.
I was looking around. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I made sure that Jen was able to get out and get home.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, all right.
I'm going to go pumpkin.
I'm going to go home, go to bed. And me and Panther totally just like, all right, let's go to bed. Snore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that 2 weekends in a row, completely without preparing for it. Because we went 1 weekend because Diddy gave us tickets as a congrats on the new job. And also, we need to use this up by the 31st, take tickets. So we went that weekend. And then Mita was with me downstairs, and that's... So we wanted to do Saverin's sister a nice birthday. You know, what about bringing her here? It's like, okay. And lo and behold, we were prepared to pay, but Diddy had more tickets that he had to get used up. So
nice.
We acquired some more and went a second time. And after both times, after doing that, I felt wrung out and very pleasantly tired and relaxed.
Mm.
And yeah, I slept very well both times the nights following a trip to there.
So it's, yeah, Spa Castle here in Carrollton. Nice. It's just in the, it's in the basically little Asian enclave area over
so
there.
So it's over by the bookstore?
Uh-huh. It's across the way from Super H Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast corner of Old Denton.
It's actually in the same kind of parking lot area as that new hookah place I was telling you guys about.
Oh. I didn't know about that one. But, yeah, it came in a couple years ago, and they spent a lot of money on construction. Each of those mm-hmm. rooms is really, like, they put time and effort into the construction of that building. They were not cheap to maintain.
No.
But, yeah, the other thing that's over there is the Kinokuniya Books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I read about a few months back. And they're opening that branch, and then the one up in Plano is opening in February.
Yeah. Here, you know, the... I believe in DFW, like, generic Asian is actually the second largest minority. Mm. And so we have very large, like, Asian enclave areas. And right up there at Old Denton and Trinity Mills is a fairly nice one, because that's where Gangnam mm-hmm. Chicken is.
Oh, I love Gangnam
Super
Gangnam
H Mart, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Daiso, and that. I mean, that whole shopping area is doing super well. They're building little things in all the time, and that little shopping center with the Kinokuniya in it mm-hmm. has like all these little dessert cafes that I want to check out. It's like it's really neat.
It's across the bush from H Mart, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I went to Daiso over there once, and I went to there's a ramen shop over there. Not as good as Ramen Hakata over in there, but
ramen,
decent. Either way, I would kill Fuzz.
Sorry.
Too much soy.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But Daiso's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, it's a 150 yen store.
I can't even go to the bookstore because they're all bound in soy.
Oh, no. They use that soy paper and their soy ink.
Yep.
There's so much stuff over in those areas. I mean, lots of neat little shops.
PC Bang, like Korean-style gaming cafe mm-hmm. right up there. And I'm like, that's fucking cool.
That whole area is hopping.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a huge Korean population. Decent Chinese, Vietnamese. I think there's a somewhat notable Japanese, but I'm not sure exactly how pronounced it is. There's Thai. There's just a ton of different various Asian nationalities with a whole bunch of like little neighborhoods. So much good food.
Yeah, that's the big deal. It's like it's all these cool shops and cool people and, yes, excellent food. Oh, nom, give me the food.
let's see, what else is fun over there? Well, on the other side, so you've got Spa Castle, and then you've got that whole bunch of weird little shops that never really got populated, kind of between it and the Walmart.
Uh-huh.
Well, on the back side of that is a really good boba tea place, and right next to that is the new hookah place.
Mm.
So, see how that goes. That little strip mall kind of between Spa Castle and Walmart seems to be struggling. I don't know if they've, like, price-pointed up their rent too much or what, but it seems slow to populate.
Mm.
So, we'll see.
I'll have to check that area out. I want to go to the bookstore because I read about it back.
Well, this is on the other side of the highway from the bookstore.
Well.
Yeah, it's still the same.
I'm not going to be eating at the other restaurants anyway.
I know. It'll
we should do the hookah place, though. Give
yeah,
a shot.
I wouldn't mind giving, and it's also not...
As long as it's not like soy-based shisha.
No, so it's a quiet little lounge area, no unts.
Oh, good.
They don't have as good a food as Jasmine's. They've mostly got very, like, burgers and fries and very generic whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they do have, like I was telling you, they have the sniffer box, which is, it's like a box with, like, little tiny containers of the shisha.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pop the tops off, give it a sniff. Oh, so that grape or this grape. You know, mm. So you can smell, like, the different tobaccos and their different flavors. So you can, you know what you're picking out.
Right.
So, which is a lot more educational, I find, than a list of flavors on a...
On a menu.
Yeah. Because some of them, even if they say that they're one flavor, they are not actually that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to give it a try at some point.
That'd be a good Christmas.
Yeah.
I had an uneventful one. We had family over. It was awkward.
We had family over. It was fine.
Yeah.
parents and brother-in-law. My mother and father-in-law just bought a new house in Colorado, which they've moved out to. So this is, like, so they came over to Taryn and I's place instead mm-hmm. of doing it out at their old house. Yeah, it was nice for a change doing Christmas at our place. You know, we had the tree up and, you know, everyone got what they wanted off of their Amazon wish lists. Because that's primarily how our family does their Christmas shopping now. One of the books that I got, I was like, I'm going to take a little break at least one day and not focus on For Planet stuff. And I ended up staying up till, I think it was 6 in the morning. I just read this whole novel in one sitting. And I haven't done that in like a really long time. But it just kind of grabbed me. And it was one of the ones I'd asked for that Tieran got me.
Mm.
It was pretty good. And I still got like a couple of other ones to read. But actually, one of the books I got is an anthology of stories that all involve bookstores somehow.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's called Shelf Life. So I haven't had a chance to start that one yet, but I'm looking forward to it. But oh man, we've been so busy. Like, from
prepping for FC?
Just with everything. From fucking Black Friday through FC, it's almost nonstop. Because, like, first it was like Black Friday sales, new stuff. Week after that, MFF. Tieran packs everything, takes it up to MFF, sells all the things. Then we have to reorder stock and everything like that. And then we're putting out new stuff for FC. So, like, all December and into January, we're, like, prepping the new releases and everything. And then Christmas and then New Year. And next week is FC. Oh, yeah. Reminder, I won't be here on Thursday because mm-hmm. FC.
Yes, I've been asked to give Tieran a ride to the airport.
Okay.
So, yes, I told him I would.
Yay!
Because an Uber or Lyft would be expensive.
Yeah, I have to figure out how I'm getting there. I mean, maybe might have you give me a ride, or I could.
If it's the same day, or
it's the same day, but it's in the evening because I couldn't get Thursday off of work. Yeah, I take off at like 10 o'clock at night, so I'd have to be there at like 8:39.
I can get you. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
I'm helping.
Yay! That'll save a couple bucks.
Yeah. So. Yeah, seems like our holidays went pretty well. We don't exactly have emails this week, so we're just going to talk about random bullshit.
That's cool.
Like we do.
Yeah, as we do.
As we do.
I have something. What?
No. So, something I'll mention is a book that we released in December called The Time He Desires. It's a novella by Kyle Gold. And the money for the print sales in December and the ebook sales in January, because we just dropped it on Bad Dog Books yesterday. All the proceeds from that are going to be donated to the ACLU. Because it's a novel that's like, or a novella that's very timely. It's about a Muslim man who's like struggling with his family relationships because he'd like cast out his gay son. But now he's like having to deal with that and deal with his own potential sexuality issues in his relationship with his wife, and there's a lot about sexuality and religion and growing older and changes and things like that. And so it's like, it's a very timely book. It's very current. So Kyle is like, hey, I want to do this thing. And I was like, yeah, we'll totally do that. Cause, you know, things we feel are important. And, this came up after the election. We're sort of like, you know, protecting our rights is more important than ever. So we're going to do that. So again, The Time He Desires. So if you want to pick up a copy, we donate all the money. December's over now, but on the ebook sides. And then new books for FC.
Lots of new books.
Yes.
But hey, that's a good problem to have. I mean,
yeah,
FC's kind of your big, like, well, I guess winter release show.
Yeah, like we had a few new maybe, like, things Fiesta, at Midwest, but yeah, FC really like kicks off, you know, the year, and we'll probably have a couple more new things for Fiesta, and then it's kind of quiet March, April, May, and we have Anthrocon July 4th weekend, and that's always like a big to do. So, oh, I got a new wallet at the con.
Oh. Is it neat? Oh, it's a TARDIS. I am somehow not surprised.
If only
this is my surprise face. Buzz and Doctor Who.
Yeah. So the wallet I'd had since I was 9, and I still have it. I mean, it is very battered and, you know, maybe a little folly party. But I was at a... Oh, we could talk about this, Saverin, because you dug up that article on it. I was at the Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve, which is one of those big invite 40 guests and get their autographs and get your photos and stuff like that type conventions that was held in the downtown Sheraton over New Year's Eve weekend. So the big things for me were the Seventh Doctor was there, so I got my picture taken with him. He's holding Fez.
Yes,
so,
I saw that. It was very cute.
So that was a lot of fun. Also, I got, you know, the Doctor Who TV movie that came out in the 90s. I have the DVD of it. And when I was in Chicago TARDIS a few years ago, I got it signed by the Eighth Doctor and the two companions from that story. Well, Seventh Doctor's also in it because it's a regeneration story. So I got him to sign it, too. So now that one DVD is signed by 7, 8, and the two companions from that episode, which is pretty cool. So now I have to track down Eric Roberts if I want to get the Master to sign it, which might be difficult. He doesn't do a lot of cons. But I also got this is Stan Lee's last year doing cons. So
supposedly
that was well, he's 94, and I don't blame him for maybe like taking a little time off, you know. So I took advantage of the opportunity. I got my picture taken with Stan Lee. And the third person that I felt was just a real icon and I really wanted a picture was Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah.
So I got a really great picture with Nichelle Nichols where we're both doing the Vulcan
salute. And she's still looking good for her age. She's 84.
84, yep.
I mean, she's deemed pretty robust for being 84.
She was really sweet, too, because, like, I was, like, I never try to, like, I always feel slightly nervous sometimes in some of these photo ops. Like, I don't want to be the fucking, oh, the fat geek creeper.
Let me overhand you.
Especially some of these really elderly guests.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm kind of like, I'm standing next to Stan Lee, but I'm kind of like, sort of like a few inches away. I don't want to hurt
you.
And Nichelle goes, come over here. And like, gets me to stand closer to her. So I'm kind of leaning towards her. So she...
I don't want to break you. Sweet.
Yeah.
Don't let me break her up.
One of the things, though, is that it turns out that running a convention on New Year's weekend is a bad idea.
Yeah. So let me just preface this by saying, as an attendee, going to a con and finding very small lines or no lines for the people that I wanted to meet is a really pleasant experience. Unfortunately, that doesn't allow a con to really pay their bills. So over to you, Saffron.
So, yes. This is my where I read an article and have, like,
opinions.
I have opinions, yes. I'm a very opinionated guy. And in business of conventions, I'm very opinionated on. And also just, like, fills me with horror because, oh, God, it could happen to me.
Yeah.
Well, not that it will because never on that scale.
Yeah.
But this was a first-year event run by a convention company, a for-profit company that didn't have a very good track record. Apparently they had a event in Oklahoma City that didn't go so well. Don't know about that. But they were doing New Year's Eve downtown Dallas in a somewhat expensive space.
Yeah.
Just to say, like, sans anything, to rent out that space is like $750,000. And that's 2 years ago. So it's probably gone up since then.
Yeah.
Third of a fucking $1 million. And of course your room nights and all that stuff mitigates it. All the way, supposedly. If it's done right, it will mitigate. If you meet your room nights. Yeah. But apparently, like, these guys... these guys just basically pulled a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not... Now, it's not as far-reaching in the scene as, say, Unicon was, because it was a it's a general nerd con,
yeah,
profit comic experience. There's a they're a dime a fucking dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But
I took a picture of the microphone.
Oh, okay. I was just like, "What are you taking a photo of, Shiva?" But these guys, they had like 40 guests.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you mentioned Stan Lee and Nichelle Nichols,
Sylvester McCoy.
They apparently had Kevin Sorbo.
They had Kevin Sorbo and
a bunch of other dudes, like Jason Mewes.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold. What? They had the cast of clerks. So they had Brian O'Halloran, Marilyn Gigliotti, Jason Mewes. They had Michael Rooker, who was in Walking Dead and Guardians of the Galaxy. He played the blue guy with the arrows in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he played Daryl's brother, Merle, in Walking Dead. Who else? There was a lot of people. They had the cast of Animaniacs. They had like three or four.
Those guys.
Rob Paulsen, Tress McNeil, and a couple other people.
His name is Robert Paulsen. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Because they had a very impressive guest list.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, very impressive guest list cost very impressive amounts of money. It was basically put out there that Stan Lee's appearance fee is $200,000.
It was apparently it was not an appearance fee. It was a guarantee.
Okay.
So, like, basically they were like, I guess it's basically that you're guaranteed to make $200,000 between a combination of appearance fees, autographs, and photographs.
Yes.
And, you know, like, if... I guess the idea is that if the attendance falls short of making that amount, it's up to the con to pay the rest of it. And they paid him about $150K of the 200.
Yeah.
So short $50,000. And there was, so
apparently, he's 94. It's not going to matter too much longer.
His grandkids, man.
I know, right?
Everyone got, apparently all the guests got their money from Wolf Studios Photography, which is the company that does the professional photo ops, because they handled that money directly.
Yeah.
And they paid the guests directly. But the money that they were supposed to get from the convention, which a lot of it was like autograph money or appearance fees, there's rumors that a lot of the guests didn't get that money. So if someone was supposed to be paid like $5,000 to appear and then they would make money on photos, they didn't get that $5,000 or
yeah,
whatever.
And it's not just the guests that these guys stiffed. It's the hotel.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because they apparently only got about half the attendance they wanted, they basically hit attrition real hard. And attrition, in convention speak, is basically when you don't hit your room block numbers and you basically owe money to the hotel commiserate to hitting the break point. So, mm-hmm. Okay, so example. You need 300 rooms. You need 80% occupancy to hit your to not be under attrition. So if you are at 240 rooms, no, 240 rooms, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the hotels, you're going to be charging, like, if it's tiered, you're going to be paying the highest tier.
Yeah.
These guys didn't even hit 80%. And I'm assuming 80% because that's what my experience with hotel contracts has been. And mm-hmm. So these guys didn't hit the 80% that I'm assuming. So when attrition is invoked, basically the hotel or the con org is on the hook for room nights up to the 80% breakpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So if they – so say in this example, if you needed 300 room nights and you only had 200 and you need to hit 240, you as the con org would have to pay 40 room nights worth to the hotel directly.
Yeah.
Which for me would be $4,000 or so.
And don't they usually charge you, like, the whole amount of the room, not the discounted convention rate for the room?
Because in their
Because they're also not making bar sales and food sales.
Yeah, and also because they blocked off that room for your event, they theoretically have lost sales from, like, random business travelers.
Right.
So it's real bad.
Yeah.
So needless to say, that Conorg has declared bankruptcy. All their people were laid off on Sunday morning, and that company is no more.
That sucks.
What?
Because so it was a for-profit company, so they actually had employees. So,
yeah.
You know, and part of it is also that we were talking about this. Dallas is becoming a really saturated market for this kind of con.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the comments I was seeing on there were saying that this was like the fourth big-ass – all these guests are here convention that year. It used to be like you would have like one big nut convention a year. And this year we had four because it was like Fan Expo, Dallas Comic Con, this one. I don't know what the fourth one they cited was. There was one earlier in the year. Like when I walked in there, they handed me a flyer for their next show, which was in like March or May or something like that. So I guess that's not happening now. And other comments said that it was a really shit year for Texas in the convention scene, because like they also cited that Space City Comic Con happened in 2016 as well, and that was a similar kind of situation.
Yeah, that was in Houston.
Yeah,
those guys are douchebags, though. Fuck them. Just saying. I was supposed to go down there and do an interview for John DeLancey. It didn't work out.
I was gonna say that's right. DeLancey was supposed to be there.
Yeah. Dark times. No, there was some shenanigans and bullshit. This was early pony bullshit. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. So these cons like this, they leave big old holes in the landscape when they crater, because, you know, it basically puts these areas off the radar of these big names. And again, for us in both the furry and the pony scenes, A, in furry, we don't have that kind of bullshit to worry about, and we technically run for pennies on the dollar relative to many, many, many other events. Mm-hmm. And on the pony side of things, well, I'm the only pony con anywhere between the coasts, pretty much, and Chicago. So
yeah,
there's not a lot of competition in the market. Not that the market's very big anymore, but and the guest pool is fairly small. But we have good relations with other people, and none of them are Stan Lee type people. So you know, we're lucky in, like, the furry scene with, like, Fiesta, because, A, there's not a bunch of people trying to set up in our backyard, and, you know, while there are a fuckload of furry cons, there's not, like, you know, there's not, like, four or five different things trying to go off at the same time. But you know what?
Yeah.
There's enough furries in Texas that could probably soak that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's not like we have to rely on paying a bunch of appearance fees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll mention this, and I don't know a ton about it. I talked to the organizer a little bit, but there is a furry con starting down in San Antonio.
I looked into that, though, and it's basically like a fur meet event at the River Center Mall.
Apparently, no, they're not doing the mall anymore. They actually have like a hotel.
That's changed. They actually have a hotel now.
Where is it going to be at?
It's at the hotel that's like near the mall.
So the La Quinta?
No, it's a real, it's a Marriott, I think.
Okay.
But
the La Quinta is where I stay for PAX South generally, and it has some event space.
I think it's called Furry Invasion.
Huh.
And it looks like they're stepping up their game a bit. Like they actually have a contract with the hotel. I was a little concerned about it initially because I was like, they're like, we're open from 9 to 6 and we're in the mall and we're going to use this unused space in the mall for the dealer's room and everything, and I'm just like,
this is gonna go poorly.
I was like, well, you know, I could probably make a couple of bucks, but it's not gonna be a massive con or anything. But now, like, they're actually in a hotel.
What's their target date?
Maybe it's in like October, which is great because it's the opposite end of the year is Fiesta. And I think that now that they're in a hotel, like a real con, that it actually has a fighting chance of being a thing.
Yeah.
And having another con 5 hours away, 6 months apart, will be good for the Texas furry community. My opinion. So I think, if I recall, it's called Furry Invasion.
I think you're right.
Yeah. You can fade in your butt. Anyway. So it'll be down in San Antonio in October, and they have a Facebook and a Twitter.
Okay. I mean, I've just been watching to see what they do.
And I'm thinking of going. So if it looks like it's going to actually be a thing.
But again, not the appearance fees that main sci-fi.
Oh, I won't charge my appearance fee because it's the first year. Okay. But I'm just thinking, you know, it could work out well for my company. I mean, you know, it's a few months after Fiesta. All of our new shit will be out. Cruise on down there for the weekend. Have a good time. Sell some books. Sounds like an okay on a weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. To make sure I get the time off of work.
What, about a 7-hour drive from here?
5.
I thought longer than that.
You know, and it was supposed to be shorter than that. Because, like, when my sister and I went down there, like, when I initially scoped it out, they were like, it's 4.5 hours. And then when we actually got on the road, it was like 5.5 because traffic. Like, ton of construction on 35 as always. So.
Mm. I've only been down there a couple of times, and only once all the way down into San Ann. Mm. That was with Savin for PAX South.
Yeah.
That was, what, 3 years ago?
Yep. Because it's going into PAX South 3, the third year of it, and probably going to have to cancel.
Oh, I thought you were going to get your co-chair to go with you.
I haven't heard back a firm one way or the other, so I'm going to contact him, but, you know.
When is it?
The 27th, 29th this month. And I still have time to, like, cancel the room and only, like, lose on a badge, but.
You might be able to resell the badge, too.
Change your room to a king, go down there, and just fucking sleep right in the middle of it. You're like, oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to be like, and then fuck all the nerds.
Yeah.
There won't be any virgins left.
That's right.
It's like, yeah.
Fucking nerds. It's going to help you so hard all your pimples will break.
Oh. Yeah.
Boner. Destroy.
Fatality. It's fatality. Never rising again. Thanks, Fuzz.
You're going to need new tape on your glasses. Oh, yeah. Your braces are going to get, like, lodged in the headboard.
I'm your new high score, bitch. I'm going to put my initials on your ass.
Take all the butt virginities you can.
You'll be so out of breath. You'll be sucking on your inhaler.
God, Fuzz.
I'm going to tap your ass like a magic deck.
So, yeah.
So, anyway. Catching away from Fuzz with a sharp left.
Well, I mean, beyond that, it's
maybe
like,
I should come along. That'd be a good time.
Oh, baby. I'm pretty sure there's fanfic out of that. Well,
I don't. I think you'd be entertained because it'd be completely foreign to you, but you're not that much into games.
Right. I'd be walking around like,
what is this?
And then fall asleep in the corner because you're bored to death.
Yeah, probably. He would end up in the handheld lounge area.
I'd go find the quiet room and then just sort of like sit in the beanbag and be like.
Oh. I mean, you could just walk around San Antonio. And see all the
walk by the Alamo, walk by a third time.
I'm gonna be here in this beanbag. Savin, when you're done, just roll me back to the room.
I was like, all right, Fuzz, just put this 3DS in your pocket and you're gonna collect all the street passes for me.
And here, this could be like Weekend at Bernie's, you know. I sit there asleep, you just push me around in a wheelchair and I'm collecting street passes.
Well, the thing is, and they upped it so that you can now get 100 street passes at a go. So you can actually do that now.
Nice.
Like it used to be 10 at a time. Uh-huh. So you could only cycle it so quickly, but Nintendo upped it to 100.
Uh-huh.
So now you can actually go to a massively packed event with a shitload of DSs and capture all of them.
Or at least 100 of them.
100, well, yeah, 100 at a time, but
when you say at a time, what is the time frame on that?
Well, is okay, that so you
per
can have
day or?
Well, no, you can have 100 unique impressions. You can have a unique impression from any given DS every 4 hours.
Okay.
So, like, if you're at the con for 12 hours, you could street pass the same person 3 times, theoretically.
Right.
But previously it had, like, a UID cache that only held 10 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it holds 100.
Ah.
So when you do the street pass games and whatever, you get, well, I think it's, like, street pass, like, the puzzle pieces specifically, mm-hmm. which would take fucking ever. But you never know.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the case. But it makes going to large events like PAXs easier for people so they don't have to sit there, cycle through 10, cycle through 10, cycle through 10.
Mm-hmm.
You can just get a billion of them and just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Video games.
Get all the things.
And like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know what all is being announced at PAX South and what indie games are going to be there. I'm just like, I want to go because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can get some more codes from indie devs.
Yeah.
hey, I do this thing. Can I get, can I? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I've actually gotten a good number of like random code things recently because I have 4,100 subs on YouTube. Woo! Most of them don't watch what I'm making anymore, but that's okay. I have 3.5 million views, which all come from like 10 things, but still.
That's okay. I don't need your views.
It's like, hey, I see you've got a lot of views and a lot of subs. Here, I'll have a code to my game. And I'm like, thanks. But, you know, no big deal. I'll play your video game. Whatever.
Yeah.
Because the Steam sale was really good. So, mm-hmm. between the Thanksgiving and the Christmas sale, I got Elite Dangerous and Doom. And I got Stardew Valley, Axiom Verge, Abzu, Face Rig, Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus. Fuck, what else? Somebody gave me a copy of City Skylines. And another, like, first-person puzzle platformer game. So, like, I have all these fucking Vidja games. Oh, Astroneer. So I've got all these fucking games that I haven't...
in your ear?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a farting game. A very audio-based. Right. You basically have to turn to face the butt, but you're blind. So you have to, like, focus on the farts.
You could sniff your way there.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have the HTC Vive with Smell-O-Vision.
Mm.
That'll come in June. I'll get my Vive 2 then.
Is that Bullet Vibe?
Yes.
Okay.
You stick the Bullet Vive... in your butt, but you wear the HTC Vive headset on your head, and so you get real-time boner feedback. You're just mutating this as we go along, Fuzz. It's all right.
Hey, I know somebody will make it. I mean, they made an iPad case so that you could fuck your iPad with the fleshlight mounted on. Someone will fucking sexify the
we're in the glorious 3D waifu age. Like, people are bringing... like, there's porn games on the Vive. Like, they have their creepy 3D anime models, but, like, mm-hmm. give it time and people figure out how to import, like, furry SFM models in. Or, mm-hmm. you know, the porn version.
SFM, safe for mom?
SFM is Source Filmmaker.
Oh.
It's uses the Source Engine from Valve to make film.
I thought it was like, Mom, I want to introduce you to my waifu.
Yeah. It's like, here, put on your thing and she can talk to you. Son, why is she speaking Japanese? Don't talk shit about my waifu. Still, it's exciting times. For waifus.
Just awkward pause.
No, my paws are perfectly fine. I don't know what you're talking about. They're not awkward at all.
Thump, 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 squeak.
But Fiesta's in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up quick.
But that sure is a thing.
Yep. Yes. Well, howdy. We're under 90 days at this point.
Yes, and all the shit is starting to hit the fan because... Yep. Now we have to do all the things.
Yeah.
Well, I put in my purchase orders and my budget approval a while back, so I hope y'all bought that shit.
I don't know. Don't remember who's buying your shit.
Well, it's not my problem. As long as it gets bought.
Mm.
If it doesn't get bought, well, that's going
to suck. If it doesn't, there'll be Hector Perry.
Well, I do have to set up the two we use so we can do the charity Smash tournament. But... and the two new TVs for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're actually making that a thing this year. We also got to do this, I want to bring my Rock Band 4 stuff, so we'll probably have that again.
Mm-hmm.
Because a couple back when you were still at the Crown, we had a dude that would bring his Rock Band, I think it was 3, and he had 400 songs on it, and people played the same goddamn 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I should have had a jar. It's like, this is the Bohemian Rhapsody, like, it, like the four songs that kept playing, it's like, you have to put a dollar in this jar to play this song. All of you have to put a dollar in the jar to play this song.
If I have to hear this again one more time, there better be a dollar. If you do not,
I'm resetting the system and kicking you out. But all the money will go to charity. You know,
yeah.
I should have done that, but I didn't.
It's kind of like when we were down at Pack South at the piano bar. It's like Billy Joel's Piano Man was like a $20 song, and they just closed out the night with it. But, you know, you had like, to pay $20 for us to play this fucking song again. And we play it one time a night. That's it. Mm-hmm. You're cut off.
Freebird.
It is the piano bar's version of Freebird.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was Bohemian Rhapsody, and I think it was like Knights of Cydonia's thing, or it was Knights of Cydonia, and just a cut, like, and Freebird was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shortened version, not the full, like, 7-minute version. And yeah, it was just like, God damn it, you motherfuckers, you're playing that again?
Mm-hmm.
There should be a...
There's a statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed, though. Nobody really did much with the Kinect games I bought this year. I borrowed Tesser's 360 with Kinect and bought a couple of very inexpensive dance games for it. And a couple people used it, a couple fursuiters used it, but it didn't get that much use. People were like, I'm going to play a fighting game instead. Like, fine, be that way.
I want to beat shit up.
I want to play Mortal Kombat. No, man, we need to play the true ultimate fighting game of the year, Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite Duel. It's a fighting game where all the characters are females from, like, visual novels. So they're all cute anime girls beating each other up.
Female humans?
Yes, they're female humans, except maybe they're aliens or cat girls or...
Oh, okay.
Actually
not actually human.
Not actually female.
Oh, okay.
Not actually human.
It could be one of those situations like La Pucelle from Magical Raising Project, who is she is actually a boy in real life, who then transforms and becomes a magical girl.
Oh, right.
What's this?
Okay, so...
is this the button boob one? No, it's the magical girl. This is the magical girl.
The magical girl... Yeah. Okay, so...
I haven't seen any of these. That one's still...
No, but I've shown you, like, some of the crazy shit from Kaijo. So, Magical Girl Raising Project is a piece of shit anime that aired this fall. Like, it just finished up a couple weeks ago. And basically, they tried to do Madoka and Battle Royale and failed on both counts. And, they killed off all the shitty characters, but in the process killed off all the good characters. To the point that, like, out of a cast of 16, two of them survive. And, I mean, it's like a death game like that, except, like, it's really fucked up. And there is no reason for it to ever happen other than the fact that the little AI critter buddy is just psychotic. He's like, I didn't actually have to do this. And I figured that once... The general gist is, like, there's 16 magical girls in this area, and they're like, well, due to, like, the mana supply being exhausted by having too many magical girls, we need to cut it down to 8. And the person with the lowest, like, magical candy score for the week drops out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, lol, whatever. Like, oh, you lose. What happens? You get kicked out of the game. You're not a magical girl anymore. No big deal. Except it turns out that the first girl to do that fucking dies. And then the second week happens, and they're all scrambling and figuring out how to not be dead last, and through some trickery, the actual, like, becomes the primary villain, tricks this real bitch of a character, and she fucking dies. And, like, everyone's like, oh fuck. So basically it devolves into them, like, either trying to steal the candies from each other or murder each other, because... If somebody dies, that means that nobody gets eliminated for being last place that week.
Oh.
So it becomes this murder, death, kill game that's just awful. And in any episode, like, if you're going into this, and I don't really feel bad that I'm spoiling it for you because it's a real shit show in the end. I had high hopes and they fucked it up. Like, any time you find out about a character's backstory, they're fucking dead that episode.
Oh, they telegraph it that badly?
Yeah, it's super bad because it does this every time. It's like, oh.
Oh, you found out about them. You found out about died.
This boy who really, really liked Magical Girls growing up and got shit for it, but was selected to become Magical Girl because Five's just an asshole and was like, you can become Magical Girl. And he's like, but I'm a boy. He's like, you'll become Magical Girl. Okay. And he's like, I'm an actual, like, I am biologically female as in a Magical Girl form. Like, I am male as a human, but I am a biologically female Magical Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, there's no such thing as a magical boy, lol. And so he gets his, oh, you find out about him. Oh, he's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
You find out about, oh, this character. Oh, fucking dead. Oh, look, it's the cute lesbian couple. You find out about their backstories. Oh, God, no. Oh, you find out about the former biker gang mom who's pregnant and kept saying that, like, oh, I just need to survive another 6 months.
Jesus, and, really?
Dead. And she's fucking dead. She dies while, like, 6 months pregnant by the end of the show. And it's just like, what? Ah. Like,
the hell, man?
Ah. It makes me so mad because, like, it could have been cool. And this is, I guess it's my own fault for not reading, like, the light novels, but I don't have fucking time for that. And so, like, I was like, oh, this might be cool. Wow, this is fucking horrible. And I finished out because, like, I was that deep in before I really came to the conclusion I didn't like it all that much. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm going to still see this, like, see what fucking happens. And, like, the primary villain is a 7-year-old girl.
Hmm.
Like, she's a 7-year-old girl who's not all there. She doesn't view people as people. And so she just doesn't really care about killing people because,
yeah,
whatever, there's bugs in the way. So the main villain of the show is a 7-year-old girl with, like, autism who murders her way through the cast.
And what was the name of this one?
Magical Girl Raising Project. Yeah. And then, yeah, Kaijo's button boob battling sports anime, which is just goofy as hell. Like, it takes itself super seriously as a sports anime, but it is 100% fan service as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tits and butts. I mean, the gist of it is a women's only fighting sport. It's a gambling sport, and the only contact between people can be between butts or boobs. If you fall down, like if your hand touches the platform you're fighting on, which is fought in swimsuits and in pools, you lose. So it is basically smacking each other with their tits or butt bumping them and doing things that would, like, bruise your tits clean off in real life.
Mm.
It's very...
I saw one where they were spinning, like, for fellers. And...
Yes. And tit hypnosis. And, like, one chick does, like, nipple iado, where, you know, the Japanese thing where they do, like, they have the sword sheath, whip it out, slice, and whip it right back in, except she does it with a tit. She, like, pulls her bikini top side, smacks somebody with the tit, and puts it back in, like, super fast. And it's, like, God, a super move. It is the dumbest shit, but it's like
you can't stop watching. It
revels in its stupidity.
So she, like, bare her boob, like, completely and smack her with a naked boob and then put it back?
Yeah. Like, she, like, nipple cuts her, you know? Her tits are like glass shards, you know?
What the fuck?
It, like...
Is there a rule against having piercings?
Yes. But it actually does have a very wide, like, body type representation, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, anybody can do this. If you can hack it, you can do it. And so it's like, there's a fairly wide... I mean, it's still very much a TNA anime, but there are characters that are, like, big and burly, somewhat flat-chested. There's, like, a couple bigger characters.
Mm-hmm.
Though, on the good side of anime, which is actually a show I've not watched yet, because the person I watch anime with was just like, it's a sports anime, bleh. About ice skating. Bleh. Which, I don't really watch sports anime. That's why we didn't watch Kaijo. He doesn't like fan service much at all, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes more serious and, like, warfare-type stuff and not tits and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because we watched a tits and not really sports but motorcycle anime called Bakuan in summer season.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, called Yaoi on Ice. Yuri on Ice. So the name is Yuri on Ice, and the characters' names are Yuri and Yuri. One's Japanese, one's Russian. And it is a straight-up gay romance. like with actual character development and none of this like, oh, one of us died. They actually end the anime together as like a committed couple. They kiss. There's like, this is one of those shows where they took a lot of risks, basically, because apparently figure skating is a very homophobic sport.
Mm-hmm. And it's because everyone thinks they're gay.
Yeah.
So they have to be like super not
super
gay.
Oh, I'm macho. And like having characters that are like main characters like Russian but gay. And so like they're like, haha, check this shit out, bitches. But everything I've heard from it, like all the people whose opinions I give a shit about, loved it. Siani and his husband were watching it and were just loving the shit out of it. I think Kia was watching it and loved the shit out of it. Because it's a very well done gay romance that's actually treated respectfully. Nobody dies weirdly. They kiss. You know, none of this fucking Yuri bait bullshit. Like, it's straight up, it is Yaoi on Ice. And that's really cool that that can be a show that's both made and be successful as hell. So, you know, it's Fujoshi bait, but also very good for, like, if you like gay shows.
But what bait?
Fujoshi bait. Fujoshis are basically, like, mid-20s women who like yaoi and trashy romance stuff like that.
I didn't know there was a word for that. I'm not surprised that there's a word for it, but I haven't heard that word.
But, again, it's one of those, apparently it was, like, the anime of the fucking season, to the point that for the series finale, it crashed Crunchyroll. Like,
wow.
It was like a simulcast, and it crashed Crunchyroll.
Too many people yaoi and chilling.
Yeah. And it was funny because, like, the Crunchyroll account was like, they retweeted, like, the site owner, "You fuckers broke my website. Hang on a second. P.S. please quit threatening to burn down my house if I don't give you your Yuri on Ice."
Oh, it's good to know that Crunchyroll's successful.
Yeah, it's doing real well.
I mean, I don't watch anime, but like when I heard about that concept, I was like, that's a really good idea.
Hey, you know, it really makes anime into a service thing. It's like, can you get anime?
Yeah.
If there is a easy legal way to do it that costs me like $10 a month, sure. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I'll pay $10. I think I'm paying like 11 or whatever. Because I buy it like in year chunks. And I can read all the manga, I can watch all the dramas, but I don't watch any dramas.
Apparently that's changed a lot with anime lately, is it's more accessible now than it used to be.
It is, you know, to quote Giant Bomb, there's never been a better time to be an anime fan, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because everything's widely available. There is practically nothing that's left in Japan. And like companies, like Japan's finally branching out to do co-productions with other countries and stuff. And sometimes that's bad. Like, there was a show called Bloodivores, which is a Chinese-Japanese co-production, and it was shit. But there was a really fucking cool puppet anime called Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is in the summer season. And it was a Taiwanese puppet theater show, but co-produced with a Japanese company and then dubbed in like, subtitled in English. It was just some of the – it was a really impressive shit. Like, I had no – ideas like I'm gonna give this a shot because I'll watch about the first episode of anything pretty much unless I know it's like super bad and I was like, that was fucking cool, those puppets exploded, so much puppet blood. Like, they blow up they destroy a lot of puppets in the process of this show. It was pretty cool.
Neat.
But yeah, it's there's all these shows, there's like easy 20 shows every season, brand new, and they're adding in like back catalog stuff all the goddamn time. Like, they recently re-added Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, I think, and they re-added Cowboy Bebop, which is a classic that came out 22 years ago.
It's really good, though.
Is it? Wait, was it 95? Fuck, I gotta look that up because I know that they just passed a fucking like thing.
A law that you can't watch any anime that's older than you are.
Cowboy Bebop, it was 98, 99. Okay, so it's almost to its 20th anniversary. Which, that was 98, 99. That came out when I was 16.
You were a wee baron.
I was a wee lad watching the anime on VHS. Well, I found a bunch of like Akon 2004 photos recently. Mm. It was a cache of Akon 2004 and Anthrocon 2004 photos I need to scan.
Neat.
Fursuits have come a long way, kids, let me tell you.
Oh, God, oh, have man. They ever.
You need to look like some pictures from like the 90s.
Yeah.
Like they're even more terrifying.
Like the cosplay, you know, even like the cosplay has gotten better, obviously, but it's still funny to see, like, yeah, I bet that guy's still doing that Vash cosplay 20 years on. being old.
Tell me about it.
So, I realize that I've dominated a lot of the talks. What do you guys want to talk about? That I'm like, I'm full of words. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think you know there needs to be at least one anime expert on the panel.
I used to be. I have since faded from my glory days of watching anime.
Yeah.
Christ, what have I been doing? Actually, I haven't been playing WoW all that much. I'm kind of in a lull between now and when Nighthold comes out.
Like, I am...
Oh, you guys could talk about the drama slash squee of what the Overwatch character coming out. Because that's happened since...
Coming out, or are you talking about
The Tracer? I think he's talking about the Tracer.
Oh, being Tracer lesbian. Being lesbian?
Tracer being a massive lesbian.
Yeah.
She's
now officially kissed more women than you have.
God, oh God, the reason you hate Tracer being a lesbian is that she can rewind time and reject you again and again.
Oh God, the tears the over salt. That.
Mm. I want my refund. Sorry, your money is gay now.
I love the whole, what was it, something cavalry's queer.
Cheers, love, cavalry's queer.
Oh, the other thing I saw today... a similar vein, like nerd rage, because apparently there's a game that is like 70 years in the future, and it's Iraq. Overwatch. It's a really nice place then. Yeah, it was Overwatch, and someone's raging about this PC culture.
How dare you show a hopeful future where the world's not a blasted hellscape?
Right.
There's there was another picture I saw of Tracer leaning over with a teacup. And said, cheers, loves. And on the teacup was like a winter motive. And it said tea ears on it. Nice. Like a T apostrophe R. It's like, because she's drinking your tears.
You know, it was one of those. It is important, though, because mm-hmm. Tracer is. She's the character on the launcher, she's mm-hmm. the character on the cover of the game.
She's the
mascot. Yeah. She was one of the first characters revealed ever.
Uh-huh. And she's queer.
And she's a lesbian.
Yep.
I'm like, yee.
Like, the gist of the... It's basically... It was a Christmas comic where Tracer's zipping about trying to find...
A present.
A present.
Yeah.
And she's trying to find a present for Winston, the gorilla. But she gets home, and her girlfriend is there. And she's like, oh, is this for me? And she's like, no. But, oh, okay, yeah. And she opens up, oh, it's perfect. And they kiss, and it's cute. And it shows all the various other characters... A bunch of other characters doing Christmassy things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know... Widowmaker.
This is the last straw, Blizzard.
Widowmaker is, you know, at her husband's grave, and you know, he was probably playing video games. But like, it shows the various characters in doing things that are not fighting each other in the video game.
They have a life. This is Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Like the end of it, it's Tracer and her girlfriend, who has been given a name. I don't remember her name. Visiting Winston and them sharing Christmas dinner together, and it's just a cute. There's no, like, violence or action. It is just the character interacting and being human characters. Oh, like, Torbjorn has, like, 30 goddamn grandkids.
Mm.
Oh, and
yes.
Damn it, Blizzard, did you have to shove it down our throats like this? Every time I see Torbjorn, I'm going to see him porking his wife. He has, like, 30 grandkids. It's like I can't sleep with seeing that dwarf fucking his wife. I'm not a dwarf, I'm Swedish.
Dwarves don't have single babies, they clearly have litters.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, the thing about Overwatch's universe is that it's a hopeful future.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's been some shit that's happened, and there's still shit happening in parts of the world. Like Australia is even more dangerous and deadly than before.
Because now the kangaroos are radioactive.
Yeah. and, like, Russia's got some shit going on. And Korea has their annual mech invasion. And so, like, the parts of the world which are actually doing okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, U.S. seems to be all right. Like, Hollywood's intact and, like, the desert Southwest.
There's some shit that's happened, but their pieces but are...
Basically, U.S. is in pretty good shape. Mexico's doing a lot better. Brazil's doing good. Mm-hmm. Greece is okay. Africa has some, you know, Lumbani, which is a fictional area, and, like, is doing super well. Antarctica still exists.
How is Canada?
It doesn't have representation, but it does still exist because Pharaoh is there visiting her dad.
Right.
Who apparently she is Canadian Egyptian.
Yeah.
Which, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you can tell us in Canada because she's, like, at, like, a Tim Hortons and something, and there's, like, hockey on the TV with a Canadian flag on the back.
Yes.
I like how they kind of play things without, like...
Without being like,
without Canada. Shoving it down your throat. Meanwhile, in Canada.
Oh, this is some pretty good Timbits, eh?
Oh, let me dip my Timbits in this maple syrup.
There's a moose walking by.
Yeah.
Like you're just pouring maple syrup on your cereal. And, that's just how you eat it.
And the new map, Oasis.
It's the milk of the trees.
It's a King of the Hill map. Like China, it's like China, Nepal. I think China, Nepal, and Greece are all King of the Hill maps. So basically, it's just another one of those style of maps, except it's in Iraq. But it's in this hopeful future where shit's not gone all horrible.
Or it's been rebuilt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like Dubai level okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like nice areas of Dubai. And so, you know, oh, Egypt. Egypt's doing all right. You know, it's like all these places in the world. It's like they weren't mad about Egypt, but Iraq. Woo! Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder because in, like, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, like, the final area that you fight in, like, the enemy's big base is, like, Atlas's big base is New Baghdad, which is a super built-up, super modern metropolis in Baghdad. So it's another Iraq is perfectly fine and not a war-torn shithole, and this somehow triggers Super Homura 64 to read about it and then deleted their account. It's one of those things where it's like, this is either this person is the biggest walking stereotype on the planet or like someone is just like looking trolling. To get some retweet points.
Yeah.
Either way, it's funny. Mm-hmm. So whatever. It's bullshit, but I accept it. You know.
On the, oh God, how to tell the story without entitled fuckwads. So
I'm doing a little hand like finger thing.
I have to kind of filter. So I'm doing support for an online app with you can log in through like a PC portal to it as well. It's a paid service. You can do a certain amount of things for free. They're very limited. If you're going to use this app for seriousness, you're going to want to pay for more than the taste that they give you.
Mm-hmm.
The first taste is free.
And basically the fee is like, it's about $6 a month, or you can buy it for a year for like $60. Mm-hmm. And if you need this app, because you're going to need it for basically filing for IRS, you know, it's to basically log expenses and such for a video for a business, and you can use this to collect information that will give it to you in a way that you can use it to file taxes with.
Right.
So this one douchebag, kept writing in to us very condescendingly, saying, "Why are you getting more than my free amount of allotted recordings?" And we're like, well, and we have form letters where basically, I'm tier 3. Tier 1 has a whole bunch of basically pre-written stuff that they can doctor up a little and send out as replies. They're all very stock responses. So they're sending out these slightly modified responses, and he keeps getting smarmier and smarmier. It's like, do you know who I am? Do you know what I do? It turns out he's some kind of hotshot Hollywood photographer.
Ooh.
And he like has his website and his signature. We go to his website. He's taking pictures like Snooki and a bunch of other bullshit out there. But every email is just filled with this smarmy. you know, my stuff is still behind a paywall. Why haven't you given me full for free? Now, do you know who I am? Do you know what I do? Owner of the company had better respond to this email and basically kowtow. He sent us, like, probably about 12 emails, one after the other, of smarmy, just...
Dipshit
entitled, do you know who I am and how big my dick is?
Give me your shit for free because I'm me.
Yeah, because like, do you know, you can see him trying to flop his dick on the table and saying, you know, he was like dear and sweetheart and basically, honey. Yeah, honey, and like, why don't you scurry along home? You're just a help worker. You get the owner of the company to email me, you know.
And you're like,
what?
Okay, yeah, sure. And it's just like at that point, it's like, you know what, we're terminating your contract for your
the funny part
bullshit
is this,
amount of year.
So we have a division of us, small team here in Dallas, and then there's another small office out in, like, West Coast, out by Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week, we get together and we powwow. And this was kind of me and the new hires and everybody else's first big inclusion in this powwow. And they drag up this history up on the shared Skype call with the West Coast and says, so I'm curious how we're going to respond to this. And they throw his chain up on the screen. And then it was about 20 minutes of, oh my God, look at this asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what this entitled. And there's like, do we give him what he wants to shut him up? Do we give him a discount? You know, what are we going to do to basically make him go away?
I don't give that fucker shit.
That's what it basically boiled down to in the end of this guy is, you know.
Because these kind of people are emboldened if they get what they want.
And they'll just push for it next time.
It'll just teach them that they can get whatever they want by being an asshole, by bullying people.
The tone of his emails, basically, it made me wonder if the dude was actually just trolling.
Mm-hmm.
But I've run into too many entitled dick bags that I think that he was actually serious, but it read like an internet troll. Like any response was condescending and
yeah, it's like people like that with me, it's just like, nah, fuck off.
I mean, seriously, he felt scummy. Like,
well, I mean, he's a fucking paparazzi, he's scum.
Yeah.
So
And he's probably got used to basically dealing with Hollywood types.
Oh, honey, let me tell you. If you don't do this, you'll never work in this town again. I was like, well, I work in Dallas, so I will never work in whatever West Coast shithole you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So go fuck yourself.
This guy was fucking unbelievable. But we did get about 20 minutes of good, hard laughter. What the fuck are you smoking? out of it. Holy crap.
Here's one free ticket to stick your head in the toilet and flush.
Yes.
Yep.
So. Give yourself a swirl.
You guys watched Luke Cage yet?
I've got through.
I'm in episode 10 with Panther.
I forget where I stopped, but I stopped partway through and I meant to keep going, but it was really good.
Yeah, I'm liking that a lot.
I don't remember why we stopped. I think we binged it and then we just never got another night to start it up again.
You know, it's actually, I was listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. Actually, today, co-optional podcast, most recent episode, had Crendor on, and they were talking about how people consume media nowadays. I know we're past an hour mark, and we need to stop and save.
So, he sees me, he's turning around to crane my head at the computer.
Yeah, so
to
actually,
see.
We're going to pause right here. We're going to put a pin in this, and I'm gonna get a drink, and we're going to stop and save, and I'll come back with my media consumption anecdote. BRB. It will not hurt, Professor Moggs said as his 12-inch cock lined up with the nerdy fox's tailhole. I am really good at sex because I get it so often, having a 12-inch cock. Fuck me with all 12 inches of your cock, Professor Mogg. And Mogg pushed all 12 inches of his cock into Yifslet's ass and made him come from how awesome it felt to have 12 inches of cock inside him. And we're back. So, that is Kylie's fault. Thank you, dear. We have a really great Telegram chat, a Notcast fan chat. It's got 155 people in it. A couple dozen are active, a lot of lurkers, but it is a busy, busy room full of porn storms and fun stuff, and sometimes we get all chatty and do use the voice chat. So it's nice. And you come home to sometimes with, like, a podcast worth of audio. There's people talking to each other in, like, 10, 15-second long audio snippets that play sequentially.
I just think that's weird.
It is weird. It's cool. Okay. It's like a chat line. It's like a chat line, except it doesn't cost you $2 a minute, in a way. And you can reply to things whenever. And there's porn. You can throw so much porn.
Furry porn.
Yes, furry porn. No RL porn.
Pony porn also allowed.
Yes. As long as it's drawn, 2D's okay.
Yes. 2D good, 3D bad.
Yes. And, like, as long as you aren't breaking the rules of the podcast, you know, they won't tell you to fucking stop. Like, oh, that's a lot of... Today was Rahata throwing a bunch of otters. And I threw in some Zootopia stuff.
So slick.
Yep. They're slippery fuck tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so going back to...
I tried to bleep her, but she was too slippery.
The before the break, we were talking about consumption habits, and people basically so that, like, people tend to want to Netflix a show nowadays.
Yeah, just watch...
You want to fucking...
I'll wait for the entire goddamn season to be done and passed.
Like,
and then just watch the whole thing in, like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and so, like, with anime, my current viewing habits are, like, James and I watch our episodes week to week, and we're watching, like, 5-6 shows at a given time. But with Netflix or, well, Crunchyroll, I can go back and watch the full run. I could theoretically Netflix all of Yuri on Ice in 5 hours? In a day, I could watch that show start to finish in one shot. Likewise, like Luke Cage. Now, Luke Cage is like 12 hours, but you can still binge that stuff. And it was one of those things where people talking about how this also implies to episodic games where, you know, in an episodic game, you wait till it's done and you can play everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
And with things like Luke Cage and stuff, like there's episodes that end just on kind of just whatever.
Yeah.
Because you can just go to the next one.
Yeah, you don't have to have the constant, like...
There's not a rising action, then denouement, and, oh shit, what's the cliffhanger for next week? Because...
You don't need the cliffhanger for next week, because you just start the next show. Yeah. You know.
Like, there are episode hooks for the next episode, but it's not, like, massive cliffhanger. It's, oh shit, Luke Cage just passed the fuck out.
Is he dead?
No.
You don't have to hold, you know, keep me on the hook for 3 months to come back.
To the point... That, like, there's even this skip the intro option where, like, if you're watching and you're Netflixing a show, I like how that's a verb now, it skips the, like, intro, but, like, last 3 seconds of the intro. So you're just like, boom, next, right to the next
one. So you just chain them nicely. Yeah. Just boom, boom, boom.
And so the, but, like, how when people get halfway through a series, stop for whatever reason, they sometimes don't really feel like going back to it. It's real weird. Because, yeah, like, Panther and I have spread out Luke Cage over, like, 4 viewing sessions so far. Mm-hmm. We're going to finish it up next time. But it's been one of those things where I still want to go back to it, but it's not like, oh, shit, I got to see what's next. Ah, because I can just go do it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, God, I've missed. Or, like with Steven Universe, like, oh, shit, they released 5 episodes at once.
Man, the next bomb is coming.
Yeah. Well, what's bad about that is apparently it leaked.
I know.
And motherfuckers are, like, going around spoiling that shit. I don't watch Steven Universe.
Yeah, that's...
But I...
Tyrion's been watching it, but I don't know where he... If he's current on
like,
it.
Like, apparently it gets really fucking good in, like, season 2 forward. And I'm like, I just haven't taken the time to do it.
You have to get to about episode 20. Episode 20, up until episode 20, which they're only 10 minutes apiece. They're, like, half the regular.
Yeah, they're shorts.
They're... It's very slice of life. It's like, okay, it's kind of a goofy universe, kind of quirky. And then right around episode 20, the mask starts to slip.
And then shit starts getting real.
And then and it's just this more like, holy shit, this is not a kid's cartoon. When did What?
When did all these dicks come out?
Lesbians and
so fly with
you know
me,
unrequited love and
PTSD and
yeah,
yeah,
and like shit doesn't get magically fixed.
Yeah, and
like it, a cluster.
You know. And then like it's still
you
showing
magical creatures get fucking killed.
And
rest
like,
in peace, all the watermelons.
10 episodes later, it's still obviously impacting the character. It doesn't just go away.
And like they changed the intro to like reflect changes in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like specifically Connie.
Yeah.
Like she's just being like this girl character in the intro, and then later on she's like, I got the fucking sword now.
Yep.
You know, she's the knight to Steven's like
princess. I don't know.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, like if this was Utena, she would be the one pulling the sword out of him.
Yeah, and that's really it. And, like, there's an episode not too far from the end of... long story short, one of the characters, Pearl, had a thing for Steven's mom. Steven's mom is a very large lady. She's tall, she's broad, she's very much larger than life. She's got pink hair. Pearl had a thing for his mom. It was unrequited. So later on, in the recent end of the season, they stumbled across another large, pink-haired girl and discovered Pearl's got a thing for large, pink-haired girls. That's her type.
Yeah.
And so you had this whole lesbian vibe going on. And it's like, wow.
Not so much a vibe as in, like, yo, she's really fucking into her. And they just didn't kiss on screen.
Yeah.
But, like... Ruby and Sapphire have basically kissed on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and to it was point where they brought on they call her pink hair mystery girl. I saw her. It's like holy shit, she's kind of lesbian hot.
She looks like she looks kind of Zarya from Overwatch.
Yeah.
So Saverin, there's a joke here about anime on the Twitter.
Okay.
On the Twitter,
I'm gonna read this to you. One Piece is dumb because they spend 500 episodes looking for One Piece, but they could just go to KFC and get a three-piece combo with two sides for $5.99. This is a picture of a shocked-looking character.
You know, what's sad about that, though, Fuzz?
Uh-huh.
Is there a past 700 episodes at this point?
Oh, Lord.
One Piece? Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think the only one going longer than One Piece, or...
Is Detective Conan.
No, I thought Initial D was up there, too. Or it's Hajime no Ippo. It's the goddamn boxing one that's been going on for forever.
Yeah.
That's been around.
Case closed. You know, at least they had the decency to end, like, Naruto and Naruto Shippuden.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those ones are still going because they're still raking shitloads of money.
Oh, God. I went to Fast and Furious that, or Fast Furious, the Japanese grill, walk in and it's like it's nothing but Initial D manga, like blown up and put all over the walls. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, what?
That is actually, it's a really good local place. I liked it a lot.
It's not bad. I mean,
you get a lot for your money.
Yeah. It's good, whereas I don't know if I would go to on my own, but if I ask what people want to eat and they said Fast Furious, it's like, okay. I wouldn't fight it.
Yeah, it's like going to Gangyung. It's really fucking good, but I'm just like, I'll go there when I go there.
What Gangyung
style?
Gangyung chicken.
Oh, yeah. The one out in front of Spa Castle?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that place.
Me and Tessa have been there a few times, and it's good, but
it's crap for me. So I think it also depends on what flavors you get. So
yeah.
Gangyung chicken is
it's Korean fried chicken.
So they basically fry
it
chicken.
It is KFC.
And then
K is Korea.
And then they toss it in various sauces, usually very spicy.
Yep.
So, you said that. The K is Korea. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just like, Korean fried chicken. Wait a minute.
Some of those sauces will light your ass on fire, though.
Yep. But it's so good.
Mm. Yes. It's a good kind of pain.
Sweet suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to watch fucking Star Wars Rebels.
I hear that's really good. I haven't watched it.
I watched season one. I bought season one because it was on sale for $9.99 on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. I might want to watch season two. And I was like, it's like a 13-episode season for like $40. So it's kind of like super fucking expensive.
Yeah, they're like, so the first taste is free. What?
Maybe if it drops on Netflix, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but like if you're a Star Wars fan... This is like the series that's set right before episode 4. and set before
right before Rogue One.
Yeah, and right before Rogue One, though characters from Rebels end up in Rogue One,
including the Ghost,
Chopper, and Hera. Well, General Syndulla, and everyone's like, "Oh shit, that's fucking Hera!" And everyone's like, "No, no, it could be your father, but no, her father's on her planet and fighting the rebels.
Her parents are dead."
No,
oh, wait, I don't know if they're.
All right, Fuzz. Her dad's the fucking governor of Ryloth. He's perfectly fine. No. Anyways.
Okay.
Before someone says, like, no, it's not. He's fucking dead. Because I haven't watched the show. I just know about the show, and I read the threads occasionally. But they, in the season three, part two trailer, Thrawn refers to Hera as General Syndulla. So, basically implying that she is a rebel general at that point in the show, and so she is still a general in the events of Rogue One and going right into Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably the Ghost doesn't blow the fuck up at the end of Rogue One, so she's still alive into the original trilogy timeline. Now, it doesn't say anything else about, you know, Ezra, Kanan, or anyone else, but at least Hera and Chopper are okay. And the ship... So that's exciting.
Woo!
Also, they did a preview where it's Obi-Wan and Darth Maul fighting.
Nice.
Where it's like he's like fucking hiding out on Tatooine. He's old at that point. He's Sir Alec Guinness age, old Obi-Wan, because again, that show takes place generally right before
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi-Wan. And like he's poking at a fire, and he looks up and he sees fucking Maul walking up to him with his saber in hand, and he's like, "You're not supposed to be here."
Mm-hmm.
And that's bringing a Legends, and I say that with quotation from your comic, back into canon and then redoing it, their own take on it. It's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Neat.
Because basically it's Maul's, you know, had 30 goddamn years of seething hatred towards Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan's just like, "Man, I got over your shit a long time ago. You're still fucking pissed about this? Oh, fine. All right, let's go."
Obi-Wan just pull out a blaster and shoot his ass.
He's like, "Man, I don't even got to pull out my lightsaber. Just pop."
Yeah.
Shoots him in the head. Problem solved.
Dope.
This has been a very nerdy episode. And again, I have missed doing this with you guys. Just getting to talk into a mic and just spew my nerd juice all over you.
We are awash in nerd juice.
Well, I mean, there's Star Wars, there's TV shows to watch, there's video games to play, there's anime, there's a panther.
Did you guys enjoy Rogue One, or have you seen Rogue One?
I liked it.
Like, Rogue One, yeah, because we haven't talked to Rogue One, because we haven't recorded since then.
Yeah.
Like, man, I liked it as a war movie, and it was cool because it fleshed out the events that happened right before the start of Episode 4.
Yeah.
And filled in that story gap.
Yeah.
But... man, like, I don't think any of the characters had a proper arc at all. Like, I thought that most of the characters just filled a role. There was nervous pilot, monk guy, heavy weapons guy, asshole, not really love interest, the main girl. And, like, then, like, Krennic is megalomaniacal Death Star builder person.
Yeah.
And Tarkin as, "I'm a CG zombie man."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like the first couple acts were them like planet hopping, hop, 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 and had some good action sequences and whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the whole back third of the movie is just one long protracted battle sequence, which is cool.
So then sand, ATSTs.
Yeah, the ATSTs walking on the sand. I'm like, they must have like special camel toes.
Well, they're still big white paddles. I mean, sand, snow. I mean, same idea.
And I'm like the actual animal.
Yeah,
like they have the way their toes.
So they just don't have their pants pulled up real tight. That's what you're saying.
Right.
If an ATST wore pants, would it wear them like this or like this?
Yes.
I hear they hate sand because it gets everywhere.
It's so coarse,
especially when you have camel toe.
It's so coarse, not soft like you. So, one of the interesting things about this
how also, to tell if a boy is cute. He hates sand. He will kill children. Listen to all these terrible things.
Oh, So speaking of that, though, there is that scene, you know, where in Jedi when Luke and Vader are on the platform waiting to go up to the Death Star on Endor, and he's like, and Vader ignites Luke's green lightsaber, and like they cut in an image of him killing the younglings in three, and then just the final caption is "Old habits die hard." Killing children, you know. But that's not how the story ended up.
No. I don't know. There's some scenes. There are not that many Vader scenes in that. You know, there's the one where you at the end, but the one in the middle, I couldn't help but look at the entire thing. It's like, man, his costume was really fucking cheap. You know, it just looked flimsy and like made of crappy ass materials. Just. Mm. I don't know.
Maybe. I didn't
notice that. It was mostly kind of how the head sat on. It like went over. I can show you what I mean whenever we watch it. Mm. But it's the one in the middle of the. It's like, man, could you not have done a slightly higher budget for his costume?
You know, I think it's one of those things where they. I don't know. Panther has a package, and I don't know what it's from.
Well, open it and find out.
Oh, it's in my car. My keys are right there. They're in my back seat. They're very large boxes. Beware the spare dog worth of dog fur that's still back there. So, one of the interesting things. So, Blue Squadron in this film was...
Oh, right. I read about this.
Yes, was the director going to the Lucasfilm archives, right? And, like, the Mon Calamari ship is, like, was an original art idea for Home One. And like, an original Mon Cal cruiser design idea from, like, the original. And the Blue Squadron footage, all the older people in the blue liveried starships, was B-reel that was never used from the original film.
Really? I did not know that.
Digitally retouched. So those actors are fucking dead.
Are
very, very old, but they basically were able to use some footage that was not used because there was like red, blue, gold squadron, and they only used red and gold in the original, and blue was just whatever.
That's kind of neat, though.
Yeah, it was just one of those random things because
I did not realize
there's
that.
There's a podcast done by Jesse Cox and some other dudes called Star Wars Book Club, and they talk about a lot of the new canon books, and they had a really good long conversation about Rogue One, and they were like, they really liked it, but it was also one of those, they didn't expect it. Yeah, Star Wars New Canon Book Club. Their most recent one is Episode 20, Rogue One. It's 2 hours and 5 minutes. So if you need to fucking hear some nerds gush about Rogue One and about how they liked it and what they liked and what they didn't like for 2 hours, it's pretty good.
Oh, no, I liked it. Yeah. I didn't realize, you know, that it was going to be a one-off. So the ending kind of went, oh.
Well, that's, I heard...
I'm not going to go any further than that.
I heard Kevin Smith talk about it, and he was like, well, the sequel to Rogue One is Star Wars Episode 4.
I know, but I meant with those particular characters.
Yeah. Well, right. And I liked the whole, like, you know... how far apart is Tatooine and Scarif? 39 years. You know, or whatever. And then, like, because that was 77.
So,
I
love the droid in Rogue One. He was probably...
That was...
K2?
Yeah, K2, but the Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I just like the lines and everything else that they put into that. It's like, I love the droid.
Yeah.
I love the droid.
The droid is like the standout character.
Yeah.
And his whole storyline, his storyline is what kind of hit me hardest.
Yeah.
It's like that, and I don't want to give spoilers, but his storyline was
at
really
this point,
like.
We're like nearly a month out past the film.
Yeah, still. I know that there's people. But his, it's like, that.
So, you know. I won't say it. I'll tell you guys after the fact, because we've all seen it, but I don't want to say the line, because I'll say it and people write in and be like, what the fuck, Saverin? How could you say that? But I will say it elsewhere.
That, or we could give up. If you want, we'll go into spoilers now, so if you want to, this is where you stop.
No, I'm just going to, like, on your phone or on your thing, just skip 15 seconds. I just want to reassure you guys that Jen and Intelligence Guy, they end the movie holding hands on a beach getting a tan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there you go. I liked it.
Cassian.
Cassian Andor, that's right.
Mm. Yep.
So Jen and Cassian hold hands on a beach getting a tan.
That is very true.
Yep.
That's a very apt description of the end.
And you get to see Vader be a fucking Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scariest he's fucking been in any of the films.
And ever.
It's like, he is a fucking badass.
Yeah. So.
Just saber in one hand, force choking bitches with the other, and just doing it all.
Yeah.
Help us. I really loved how they tangented the end into the beginning of episode 4. It was a perfect segue into 4. It really was.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that was funny is like, check out these hot shots from Rogue One sequel. And it's like the fucking entry, the scenes from the very start of episode 4.
Yes. Right.
They feeding the data card into fucking R2.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so.
I mean, we know how it ends. We've all seen the, episode 4.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is a Botham?
Google it, Fuzz. No. Google it.
Are we just overlooked? Are they just like, let's just
that has to do it. With episode... That has to do with second Death Star.
That's Death Star 2.
Oh, it was? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
They died a lot in its construction.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's actually a line that, like, makes, like... What about the Bothans? Oh! No, Bothans were... that was Mon Mothma saying many Bothans died to bring us information about Death Star 2.
Electric Boogaloo. Right.
And that actual bit was covered in the no longer canon book Shadows of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where basically...
There's some sort of cat-like race.
Right? Yeah, they're like... There's some furry creature dudes. And what the character... Like, the principal character, who is basically his fucking Han Solo XB. He even had, like, a newer version of the YT series freighter that fucking Han has, uh-huh. Which doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Because nerd reasons that will take too long to explain. But okay. Basically, he was a hot shot, and he thought he was trying to, like, shoot down some missiles that were going towards, like, the crew that was escaping with him. And it turns out, oh no, it was, like, a diamond... plated missile, and so his laser deflected off it. He shot it, but it deflected, but the character basically dies before knowing that. He goes to his death full of regret. And that's why many Bothans died, because their transport ship that they were escaping on blew the fuck up.
Oh.
But they were able to get the data on the Death Star too.
So the funny thing I'd seen was like a conversation I saw about this years back was like, so people were thinking, like, well, Bothans are like a spy race. And I was like, well, then why would you ever, like, hire them to, like, work on your project? Like, wouldn't you just shoot them on sight if you know, like, that they're going to be spying on you?
Bothans are just untrustworthy fucks. Okay, never mind. Pew! We're just going to, like, virus bomb their planet. No more Bothans.
So I'm really curious now about the... The Millennium Falcon freighter, why it couldn't.
Oh, okay. So, this is again some deep lore nerd shit. The YT series freighters, the Millennium Falcon's actually not very big, all things considered. It can't carry a lot of freight. What it is, it's a fucking pusher. The forks at the front hook into freight units, and it can be double stacked, and you can basically stack as many as you fucking want in front, to a point. And it basically pushes them and uses hyperdrive to basically shove that shit through hyperspace.
Oh, okay.
And it can basically, it's a freight pusher. It is a locomotive, except it's pushing from the rear and not the front.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not pulling. That's basically what it is. And the other one, the Outrider, doesn't have that feature. So it doesn't fulfill the actual role of, like, the Millennium Falcon. And that's why it's offset, is because, like, you have the big fucking freight units like this, and that way you can still kind of see... Forward.
Okay.
It's basically a space tugboat kind of thing.
Yeah. That's interesting. Because it has a weird design, like having the bridge, quote unquote, or the cockpit, like off to the side.
Yeah.
Like that, as opposed to like on top of the saucer section.
So to speak. Yeah, and that's the reasoning, I'm saying that with quotation fingers, is that it's a fucking freight pusher.
Huh.
Like, you get like these, they kind of notch into the freight tubes, like notch into the front hooks.
Uh-huh.
And it has a cargo pass through. So like you could walk in, and I guess if there's like a corridor between them, whatever, you could go inspect shit. But basically it just pushes shit around.
Yeah. I guess you kind of tell that it's not a super big ship, but it like gets dwarfed by Han's other ship in Force Awakens.
Yeah, it gets.
It also parked on the back of the dish of the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, and Star Destroyers, like Victory 2s, they're fairly big, but.
Yeah.
You know, the actual, like, it's a 2-man ship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not designed to carry. It has like 4 berths, mm-hmm. I think. And so, because there's like official floor plans and shit. But so, like, it's designed to have a rotating crew of like 4 people,
mm-hmm.
not like,
you know,
not like a frigate, like a Krillian Corvette or.
It has a couple people, not a fuck ton.
Right.
So, and if you're a Star Wars nerd, feel free to write in and tell us how we are wrong or whatever.
And I'm sure they will.
Oh, I have no idea. I've just seen the movies, really, and the.
There's never been a better time to be a Star Wars nerd. Or play video games. Or watch anime.
Or anything nerd.
Escapism will be important on our next 4 years of political nightmare.
I'm irritated. Like, yeah, there was more new Star Wars in 2016 than there was Doctor Who. Frowny face. Got one Christmas episode.
But was it okay?
It was okay.
All right.
But we got a season coming at us this year. God, it's 2017. Oh. I'm still writing 1998 on all my checks. So, we should probably wrap this up.
Yep, it's 9:33. Y'all have work.
Yes.
Put this together and wait a day to put it up there because I was a dumbass and never pushed the button for episode 344.
It's one button, Sarah. I know it's an interface, whatever it was. But God.
The last episode you recorded, I never pushed it on the RSS, and I don't know how I forgot to do it. It went out to the Patreon people, but it never went out to, like, I've been having some crazy family shit going on, so, like, this is understandable how, it, like, shit can slip, but, mm-hmm. like, I was like, what episode are we on? And I'm like, I looked on iTunes, I'm like, that's not right. Hit theater. And realize that there's 2 unpushed episodes, and I'm like, oh.
2?
Well, there's the MP3 and the AC.
Oh.
So there's the generic RSS, and there's the iTunes RSS.
Mm-hmm.
Two separate things that I have to update independently. I hadn't pushed the file. And it's like, oh, fuck. So people get double dose episodes. But, you know.
Whoops.
Shit happens. And
frequently.
Like, people will listen to both. And
it'll be like a time warp.
We'll be like, bye, see you in a month, and we're back.
Yes. So, you know what? Just write in about this episode. Let us know what you thought. And if you got any questions, you can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com, notcast@gmail.com, you know, that kind of stuff. You can follow, we have a Patreon, which is still going. You know,
it's still notcast.
Patreon.com/notcast. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Twitter @SavarinDrake. You can follow me on Twitch @Savarin. You can follow me on YouTube, but you can just alias as SavarinDrake or justafox.com. And the alias goes right to my YouTube, though I may be starting a new gaming focus channel after the 17th when I get released from my MCN.
Yeah, what?
Thingy. Managed Content Network thing. It's
bullshit.
It's bullshit. And
I just say that because I know you feel that way.
Yeah, it, I think it was, we talked about it a little before. Massive waste of time and effort and money. And they, ugh. Anyways, don't sign up for that shit, kids. They're not worth it. Especially if they lock you into a 2-year contract. Fuck that noise. Anyways, Shiva, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I am Chimera, KHYMAERA, because Shiva is taken everywhere. And that's going to be the primary place to find me these days. Other than that, Telegram, also same thing. That's about it.
I'm Fuzzwolf on Twitter, where I just got to talk a bunch of crap. If you want to follow my company stuff, you can go to For Planet, where we'll talk about, I put out information about new releases or sales or what cons going to be at. Occasionally retweet things about authors and the fandom and stuff like that.
Cool. So as she was falling asleep here at the table.
No, I'm.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And on that note, good night.
And don't fuck something. Good night.